baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Well, we haven't missed an episode here, buddy, but it feels like the first time we've sat down and chatted some Blue Jays in a while, eh?
It's been a hot minute, that's for sure.
You were off getting married?
Yeah.
Well, can we say you got secretly married? We can start this podcast over. Yeah. So Adam was secretly married last year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, I can't even blame it on the pandemic. We just did it for fun.
No, that's right. So finally his family got to get all together with him and celebrate his marriage, his nuptials. And I was off on a baseball adventure, which was fantastic. So we haven't chatted much in the last 2 weeks, and oh my goodness, so much has happened. So we are going to get into our adventures here, but I do wish to tease a few things. Obviously, we will talk where the Blue Jays are at currently. Seems bleak. Maybe not as bleak as a lot of us fans feel like it is, but it does feel bleak. We've talked about the bullpen woes all year long, so why would we change anything up right now at the end of August? So we'll get into the bullpen problems. And we will also talk minor league baseball and some of the stuff that has come out about the Toronto Blue Jays system, which is a little disheartening. All of that on the way here shortly. Today, we do have no guest. However, we are back to a guest next week. We finally get to sit down with Dara Harris of the High Performance Team. We've been trying to set up an interview with her for literally 3 months. And she wound up getting, I forget the name of the disease. It's like related to pneumonia, but it stuck with her.
Well, this is a HIPAA violation. We can't talk about this.
Oh, are we not supposed to
know? No, I don't know. Sure.
Anyway,
sure
she lost her voice. So we are going to sit down with Dara next week. And so you'll be able to hear that.
It was, I think, 2 days after we interviewed with Ben Freakley.
Yeah, and Jimmy Van Ostrand.
He helped us get that connection, and then it's just been difficult since then. But we're glad to finally have it happen. So looking forward to that.
So even though there's no guest this episode, all of our guests are brought to you by YourRate.ca. Darren Brown, the mortgage broker, sure to help you out, getting you into that mortgage that you're after, whether you're looking for a new mortgage or you're looking to redo your current one, yourrate.ca will get that done for you. It was kind of cool when I was out on the road there in LA and Seattle catching games because I ran into Jimmy Van Ostrand. Not ran into him, but he was on the sidelines there. We actually got really good seats on the last game in Seattle, and he was there. And I was like, hey, Jimmy. And he was like, oh, what are you doing here? Into Keegan Matheson. Friend of the show, which was very cool. We were in LA and he was kind of wandering the top concourse, and you know, you recognize that beard anywhere. I was like, Keegan. And then I was stopped on the street in Seattle
by the friend
of the show, Kirby Sneed, which was so wild. My wife and I are walking down the road and all of a sudden this guy sidles up next to me and he's like, hey Scotty, how you doing? I was like, hey Kirby.
Was he wearing a mask? Did you even recognize him at first?
He wasn't when him and his girl were walking around and there wasn't a lot of people, but then we ran back into him in the market, and of course it's so busy there, so I had my mask on and he had his mask on. And but that's when, like, when I texted you, I ran into Kirby and you were like, pick. I was like,
yeah,
I forgot
pictures or it didn't happen. And then you're like, oh,
and then
I
saw him again and I'm like, buddy, I gotta get a picture of you and I for Adams. So
yeah,
we did wind up doing that. Anyways, the trip was really cool. How was your weekend getting officially married in front of everybody?
It was good today. A little camping trip kind of a thing. I guess I kind of undersold the description of it to my mom, though. She's pretty upset. I said family reunion vibes.
Right.
So after we had our ceremony, she hugged me and said, family reunion my ass. That was the most beautiful ceremony I'd ever seen. But all mothers are going to say that, right?
So, yeah.
Actually, this is kind of just to bring it back to baseball. This hat that I'm wearing here was a wedding gift from my brother. So this is a trucker hat, but it is fit. in the back.
Oh, wow.
Right? This is a rare item, so I'm pretty excited by this one.
Nice hat.
Yeah, right? The retro logo and everything.
Beauty hat.
Although I don't know if the hat is crooked or it's my head, but I feel like I feel like where I want to have it, like this feels straight on my head, but when I see myself in the webcam here, I feel like
it looks a little crooked.
It looks like I'm a little bit gangster here, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe
I do
it's...
that sometimes too, where I'll have my beard pushed over to one side and I'm like, is my hat off or is my beard off?
My whole head is tilted. So I'm going to just blame it on the part in my hair.
But, well, it's good to be back, buddy, yeah. And chatting some Blue Jays baseball with you. We are going to get into it. Obviously, this road trip, disheartening to say the least to all Jays fans. I'm not going to say that the Blue Jays are out of it, but they have not done themselves any favors. So we're 43 games from the end of the season, August 20th. They're 4.5 games back of that wild card spot. They need to leapfrog Boston. They need to leapfrog Seattle. Losing 2 of 3 to Seattle did no favors. That was a really tough series to sit and watch in the stadium because I'm just like, this is so cool to be watching live baseball, but so stake in the chest for just dealing with where the Blue Jays are landing on things here. So let's get into it. Obviously, the team is slumping. And it's worse because every game means so much. So these losses, they just have so much more weight to them as a fan. And I know online, bleak, I guess, would be the okay. word that people are feeling right now. You know what it is that's bothering me about this team personally? Is that it feels like there's a lack of urgency amongst the players and the management.
Okay.
Maybe even the management more so. I feel like our backs are against the wall, right? Like at this point in the season, I would like to see this team clawing out wins. I would like to see Charlie Montoyo clawing out decisions, being that super stingy manager. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? Like go with the hot hand. Throw stats out for a second and go with the hot hand. This bullpen has been just a disaster, and some of the decisions he makes, I just question constantly. And you know what? Like our boy Lewis, who is celebrating his birthday, by the way, today.
Happy
so
birthday,
he's turning
Lewis.
16. Yes, happy birthday, Lewis. He had a really interesting tweet where he was like, listen, I think Charlie Montoyo is a good manager for a rebuilding team, but this team is no longer rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot to unpack there because the Blue Jays have always been a collaborative unit since Shapiro and Atkins have taken over. So to put all of this directly on Montoyo is a little misleading, okay? Because obviously he's not making all these decisions alone in the dugout. John Schneider, who everybody loves and would like to see take over the management of this team down the road, he has a bunch of say in this too. Pete Walker has a ton of say in this. So it's not solely on Charlie. That said, Pete Walker was also the pitching coach during the Gibbons years, and Gibbons managed that bullpen completely differently. And the Anthopoulos regime was also quite collaborative. So maybe there is something there with Charlie. We talk about this a lot with Montoyo as to is he the guy. But I would sure like to see him go, like I said, with the hot hand instead of showing confidence in guys and keep running them out there. And that's great in a rebuilding season. Yes, show confidence in your guys, right? Go with the dudes that experience is going to come into play down the road. But at this point, my goodness, man, they're still in this thing. I know it doesn't feel like it, but 4.5 games back, August 20th, like they're not out. So let's start acting like it. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yes and no. I mean, we haven't exactly been hot as of late, but I'm also like, we're lucky because the Yankees made up ground on the Red Sox.
Yeah, they're in the number one wild card spot right now.
Right, so the Yankees have the wild card. So while we were stinking it up, we didn't really lose any ground on a wild card spot.
Half a game.
Right? Exactly. So, like,
it's wild.
We're going to lose games here and there. We're going to win games here and there. It just changes which team we're chasing, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Red Sox had swept the Yankees, we'd be seven and a half games. We'd be yeah. 7.5 games back of a wild card. Right? Like, that feels a lot different.
Some luck. And I mean, I don't know. When they were hot and they went 9-2 after the trade deadline, they also gained zero games ground.
Yeah.
And then they got cold. So they've kind of been mimicking these teams that they're chasing, which has been lucky, and that's baseball for you. But we're down to it now, 43 games. It's time, I think, to...
Look, starting tonight, we got three against the Tigers.
Yes.
That
who
needs...
have been an incredibly good team since June.
We got Ray going, we got Ryu going, and then we got Mats, who's taken up that fifth spot in the rotation.
With Stripling being on the IL now.
We got to take at least two, right?
Yes, absolutely. And this is the thing when I say our backs are against the wall. Like, we have been an optimistic podcast right from the beginning, right from day one of this season. We called the Blue Jays to be in a wild card spot at the end of the year here. And I'm not going to flip that prediction, and I'm not going to become less optimistic, but I mean, reality is starting to set in here, and this team probably needs to go about 33-10.
Yeah.
You know, they need to win 75% of their games. That's not impossible. They do have 10 games left against the Orioles. However, this is now in a point of the season where we no longer get to say things like, as long as they beat the easy teams, as long as they beat the Washington Nationals, right? Like, that was a real dagger in the heart, losing that, getting swept that two-game series against the Nationals. And I think that's why the fan base is so down right now, is they really needed to beat that team who traded all their top players.
Well, and we had two of our best pitchers going. We had Manoa and Berríos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They both kind of ate it.
So we've got three against the Tigers, then four against the White Sox. The White Sox is going to be no easy task.
No, it's not. And this is, again, where we're at, where we need to take three or four against the White Sox, which wouldn't have been the case had they just taken three or four against the Angels, two or three against the Mariners, and swept the Nationals, even split the Nationals, and we wouldn't be looking so bad.
Yeah, exactly. That's the frustrating thing about that road trip, is it's made everything else more important to win the series than to split. Like, we've got three against the Tigers, four against the White Sox, then three against the Tigers, and three against the Orioles.
Yeah.
That takes us into September 1st. Then we have an off day heading into Oakland and the Yankees. Oakland for three and the Yankees for four.
And those are huge games because those are teams we're chasing. Those are probably the most important games in the season. And we are at the point right now where, if this team is a playoff team, they got to start playing like it. They need to start beating good teams.
Yeah.
Because that's what playoff teams do. So they're not out of it. 4.5 games back is not an insane mountain to climb. However, there are two teams they need to leapfrog before they even get to a wild card. And both Seattle and Boston are not teams to just write off. We watched that in Seattle just recently. The Mariners played very well against the Blue Jays. And the Mariners don't put up a lot of runs, but they also win 1-0 games. You know, like, they also win one-run games, which is something that the Blue Jays haven't really done all year. In fact, like, while we're talking about this road trip, the truth is, man, there was only one guy on this team that really stepped up. And that's Teoscar Hernandez. Pitching wasn't great. Offense wasn't great. Teoscar Hernandez was a standout.
Yep. So in nine games, he had five home runs, 13 RBIs, with a slugging percentage of 1,000 and a batting average of 500.
Wow. A slugging percentage of 1,000. That's just insanity. I mean, that's as hot as you get. That's about as hot as you get in baseball.
Yeah.
Where is Teoscar at on the year? Because he's got to be. I know he was. He's right by Vladdy, right? For batting average.
Yeah, I think he's 317 right now. Let me just quickly pull up Vladdy's batting average,
which I think is around 314, 315. So he might have actually surpassed him. I mean, imagine where Teoscar would be had he not hit the COVID IL.
Mm-hmm. So Vladdy's now hitting 313. Teoscar's hitting 317.
So Hernandez is now the best batting average on this team.
Yeah.
We talk all this year about, especially the last few months, with how well Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien has done. And the fan base is beating the drum. Re-sign these guys. But it does make me wonder, do you think a priority here is getting Teoscar signed up long-term? 28 years old, in his prime, and proving he's a beast offensively. Is that something you look at this year?
I wouldn't overpay for Teoscar, but I would certainly, as long as he's willing to come back, like sign something long-term at a reasonable price, I would have no problem giving him a long-term deal, but...
What about a contract that mimics something like the Jose Bautista contract back in the day, where he's getting paid $15-16 million a year over 4 or 5 years? Do you think Teo's worth $15 mil a year?
Yeah, 15 probably is fair.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could get him for like 13-14, I would jump at that. Of course.
Yeah.
And if we go 16-17, I start to cringe. So 15 is probably the number. But do you know who number three is for batting average on the Blue Jays this year? So we got Teo at 317, Vladdy at 313. Third place. No, Bo is fourth with 288. You get one more guess.
Kirk?
Alejandro Kirk is hitting 263.
Okay.
Santiago Espinal.
Really? Okay.
Is hitting 297.
There you go.
And
not
I mean,
near as many plate appearances, but still impressive for a utility guy. Absolutely.
Yeah, he is lower down the list as far as at bats go. But, I mean, he still played 74 games. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he has. Espinal, here's a quick list of players he has more at-bats than. Reese McGuire.
Yep.
Alejandro Kirk.
Okay.
The rest are like prospects and guys who are only here part-time. Okay. But I don't know. He's right there with Springer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, is it a big enough sample size to say this is real? I don't know. Maybe, probably not. But it's encouraging.
It sure made the trade of Joe Panic very, very palatable. I mean, especially for what the return was and that he was able to step in and pretty much do everything the Panic was doing. So great on Santiago. Yeah. That was a guy that they got out of Boston in the Steve Pierce trade. They even ate Steve Pierce's salary to get him, because the prospect that the Red Sox were offering wasn't exactly who the Jays wanted, so the Jays had to put in some money to get Espinal, and it's worked out. It's good. Not an everyday player, but he's been a fantastic utility guy. All right, buddy, let's get into the bullpen again, and I made this joke earlier, but we talk about this nonstop because it's been the biggest thorn in the Blue Jays' side is getting this bullpen working. They've been one of the worst in baseball since May. I mean, even after the trade deadline, they steadied the ship for a couple weeks, but they're right back to being a completely unreliable group of relievers. And this is where Charlie Montoyo, we continue to crap on him, but he doesn't have a lot of options. It's a real roll of the dice right now. I mean, the whole bullpen is half a win below replacement since June. Like, think about that. The entire relief corps has cost the Blue Jays half a win. That is wild, man. And to kind of put in perspective here, I can't hear you, buddy. Did you hit mute?
Yeah, sorry. I had a fire truck outside. I was muted.
Right.
So when you say wild, do you mean like it's wildly disappointing, or
yes.
do you mean that it's wildly like not as bad as you would have guessed?
No, it's wildly disappointing. I mean, in the I guess it's on average for what, if you're just watching this team and I had to guess what they were. Yeah, that it's not surprising that they're 0.5 wins below replacement. I just meant it's wild that this is a team with this kind of offensive output has a bullpen that is costing them this many games. Like, they're winning them zero games since June.
Yeah, I guess. Honestly, for me, I guess I'm the opposite, just in that because things have felt so bleak, mm-hmm. I expect that when we look up, like, bullpen performance, that we are in, like, the bottom five of the league. And we just aren't. Like, we just aren't as bad as it feels like. Like, everybody's bullpen kind of sucks. Like, as far as...
The best teams, though. The best teams' bullpens don't suck.
No, but... As far as like a bullpen ERA goes, the Blue Jays right now are in 15th place.
Yeah.
Like, average. That's not what you want out of a playoff contender, you know? And sure, the Padres and the Rays and the Dodgers and the Yankees and all those guys, you know, those are top five
White
teams.
Sox, yeah.
But even the White Sox are only three spots ahead of the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
Boston's only two spots ahead of us.
They do have those studs at the back end of the bullpen, though, that are a wins above replacement of like two or three each. Like, just to kind of put it in perspective here, and this is something our boy, the birthday boy, Lewis, on Twitter pointed out, but the leaders for wins above replacement in this bullpen is Jordan Romano is worth 0.5, Tim Mesa is worth 0.5 wins above replacement, Julian Merriweather is worth 0.4 wins above replacement.
Through like three appearances.
David Phelps is worth 0.4 wins above replacement. Like, this is we're in August. Julian Merriweather pitched what, 6 innings?
Yeah.
Like, man, there is nobody at that back end of the bullpen that is lights out that you can just put in a save situation and feel confident. Romano hasn't been bad, but I would not put him as...
He's had his run-ins with home runs too, hasn't he?
Yes. I mean, they already tried to fix this bullpen on the fly, right? I mean, they brought in Richards and Simber and Hand and Soria, and it righted the ship a little bit, but now we're kind of right back to where we were in June.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to stay positive, but I also am in an uncomfortable position defending the bullpen. So,
I'm with you, man. I mean, we're 43 games out. Something needs to happen. And we are going to get into what needs to happen for this bullpen to fix itself, and that is that it needs to do it from within, right? I mean, Brad Hand... It's funny, every time Brad Hand, the camera goes to him, I just think of that scene from Major League where Lou Brown is in spring training and all of a sudden Roger Dorn is there and he's like, I didn't know we had Dorn. I didn't think this team had any high-priced talent. And the bench coach goes, yeah, I always forget about Dorn because he's only high-priced. Which, you know, is how Brad Hand feels right now, right? And they're like, I wish we would have had him 2 years ago. Like, and that's exactly where we are with Brad Hand. I mean, good addition, and they had to try for something, but he was struggling when they picked him up, right? So they were hoping that maybe a change of scenery would, he'd start finding the strike zone, and that hasn't really been the case.
With 43 games left, you think the Jays need to win 30 plus? You need to win 75%?
I would think so.
That's...
Yeah, it's a tall order, man.
We got our work cut out for us. We got a lot of games left against the Yankees, the Rays, Oakland. I would say half of our games are against playoff teams. Just quickly glancing at the schedule. We do have our fair share against Baltimore, against the Twins, and against the Tigers. But as you said, Tigers are surging late.
And the truth is, the games that need to be won are the games against Oakland, the games against New York, the games against Tampa.
We're not playing Boston again.
Thank goodness.
That's over. We're playing the Rays 6 more times. We're not going to catch them.
No.
We might have to go.
The division's out of reach.
Might have to go 43-0 if we wanted to catch the Rays.
Yeah.
At this point. Okay, let's just look at September 1st. We got 13 games between now and then. Okay, we got 6 against the Tigers, 3 against the Orioles, and 4 against the White Sox. 9 very winnable games. Do we need to come out of that with 9 wins going into September against Oakland? Or 8? Are you happy if we go 8-5, 7-6 between now and September 1st?
No, you're right. They probably need 9 wins.
At least, right? 9 or 10.
This team needs to get hot or they're out. And this team is at the point now where every game does count. And next week, if they go something like 2-5, we could be talking about how this is over.
Yeah.
Like, there's no breathing room. There is no place for errors at this point. This team has to win. They got to put up W's or they're out. We're not at that point right now. Like, they're still 4.5 games back. This is not over. But it could be very quickly if they continue to slump like they're slumping.
You know, one nice thing, Yankees and A's play each other for 4 times at the end of August.
Which is huge.
Which
and
is
those
huge.
Those are games that when – who are the Jays playing at the end of August while they're playing their series?
Well, they are playing from the 26th to the 29th. The Jays are playing 1 game against the White Sox and 3 against the Tigers.
They need to win all of those.
Need to win all
and
of them.
And that's how you gain ground.
Yep.
When teams that you're chasing are playing each other, or you're playing teams you're chasing, you need to win those games, and that's where the Jays are at right now. So let's go back to the bullpen real briefly.
Okay.
How do you fix what's going on? We need some guys to step up. We need
– Well,
and listen, Simber was a great acquisition. He's been slumping a little bit as of recently. Richards has looked good, but hasn't been lights out. We need somebody to take the ball and run with it. And there could be some help on the way. Listen, Nate Pearson is pitching with Buffalo right now. He's in a relief role, and he has pitched really well over his last 3 outings. Like, mm-hmm. really well. Dominant. Hitting 100 miles an hour. Locating his changeup.
3 up, 3 down in his last outing.
Exactly. And I think we're very close to seeing Nate Pearson added to this bullpen. Julian Merriweather is on rehab assignments in low A Dunedin. He had a great inning with Dunedin 2 outings ago and a pretty decent one yesterday. Now, for Julian Merriweather, I think him just getting innings right now, feeling healthy, feeling good, is going to be the main thing with this guy. And he may still be another week or two away, whereas Nate Pearson we could be seeing this week. Both of these guys could be big boosts. But again, it's a roll of the dice, man. The truth is, what would really need to happen is we need to see Jordan Romano step up and become the guy he was last year. We need to see some of these guys like Simber and Richards become lights out. There's no room for mistakes anymore. We keep mentioning that, but this is the time for this bullpen to either buckle down or the season's over.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see Vladdy get hot again.
Wouldn't it be nice to see Simeon get hot again, too, while we're talking of...
It's a whole team effort. Like, we need some sort of a pep talk in the clubhouse to...
I think the guys know where they're at. And I mean, listen, obviously some big blows have happened. George Springer, like, I was at that game, man, where he hit the wall, and he was going full out. Like, we're actually lucky that it is a grade 1 sprain of his knee, because he probably will be back in early September, which is much better than what it looked like. Everyone was thinking he was probably out for the year. So a little bit of good luck there. But, man, Yeah. It's crunch time. We'll move on from here. Obviously, all us Jays fans know how dire the situation is, so we don't need to hammer on it for too long there. But let's get to the prospects, because the new top 30 Jays prospect list was released. And some guys we've talked to really moved up the list. Do you wish to go over the top 10 here, the new top 10?
Yeah, so let's start at number 10. We've got Kevin Smith, shortstop and third baseman.
And he has really moved up the ranks. He was a guy that was really highly touted when he was drafted in 2017. He made his major league debut with this team a couple games ago. He's lighting up AAA this year. Like, to the point where the Buffalo Bisons were quietly being like, he might win the MVP in the AAA league.
Is he a candidate to be our third baseman next year? Realistically, he's 25 years old. Spent 5 years in the minor leagues. Do you think he gets a shot next year?
Maybe. I mean, realistically, it's likely he's traded. Maybe. He's a good trade trip. I don't know, man. I think he would need to really... If he lights it up for us in September, maybe.
You think he could be a September call-up? I like that. Okay.
Well, he's maybe with the team right now, right? I mean, we'll see.
Is he with the Jays right now?
Yeah, he's with the Jays right now.
When did he get called up? I missed that. Sorry, it's been called up.
Yeah, he was called up two games ago. He was called up and made his major league debut.
Okay.
And it's funny because I've been messaging with him on Twitter trying to get him on, and he's just been busy. And I was just like, dang it, we just missed another one, right?
Yeah. Well, good job, Kevin Smith, then. Up at number nine, we've got Estevan Machado. Shortstop, right, playing rookie ball.
Young kid.
He's quite a ways away still, but
yes,
you can never have too many shortstop prospects. Number eight, we've got friend of the show, Adam Klopfenstein, right-handed pitcher in high A.
Nice.
Just 20 years old for Klopfenstein. Easy to forget how young some of these guys are.
Absolutely.
Klopfenstein, very well-spoken. At number seven, we've got Miguel Giraldo, shortstop and second baseman. Number six, we've got Otto Lopez, kind of just a utility guy, plays everywhere.
Debut. Yeah, also made his major league debut just a few games ago, getting the call up.
Number five, we've got our, I guess, most recent first round draft pick, Gunnar Hoglund.
Yes, that's right. He's currently rehabbing from Tommy John surgery, but could be a big part of this team come 2023.
Number four, we've got Jordan Groshans, friend of the show. Shortstop and third baseman, playing in Double A, and has been heating up for the last, I would say, two, three months of the season.
Yeah, he's looked really good. Hopefully we can maybe have him back on and get some updates over the off-season as to where he's at.
For sure.
His interview is up right now on our YouTube page, by the way. And you can check that out under the full conversations pull-down menu.
Number three, we've got Orelvis Martinez. Mm-hmm. Shortstop and third baseman. And this is the guy who a lot of people believe is the reason we felt comfortable trading Austin Martin.
Yes, absolutely.
So he's just 19, but very... The sky's the limit for
hitting
Martinez.
19 home runs with low A Dunedin. Huh. Like, just found that power swing at 19, and you got to love to see it. So he's currently with the Vancouver Canadiens.
Well, and that was the one critique with Martin, was that wasn't really showing any
power.
Didn't have much pop in the bat, right? So number two, we've got Nate Pearson. 25 years old.
He's dethroned from his number one spot.
He's dethroned, but I think with all the buildup, and you and I have talked about this, that our number one prospect pretty well all season long, who's been having a great season. Gabriel Moreno.
Yeah.
The catcher of the future for our Toronto Blue Jays.
Love to see it. And I do wish to do a quick little honorable mention here. I know he didn't crack the top 10, but 19-year-old out of the Netherlands, friend of the show also, Semro Burs, has moved up the ranks from he was in the 30s 35, something like that, when we talked to him at the beginning of the spring training this year. But he is in at number 13.
Very cool.
On this prospect list. And he just has all the potential in the world. He's starting to hit 94, 95 with his fastball, which is the highest velocity we've seen out of this kid since they signed him as an international free agent. And his secondary stuff is what has the Jays scouting system so excited, is that at 19, he's already locating his slider and his changeup, and he is dominating currently in low A Dunedin. He's probably going to finish the season there, but you know he'll start low A next year, or high A next year with the Canadians in Vancouver, and may even see double A by next year at 20 years old, which is incredibly exciting. And maybe his progress is another reason why they felt that they could move Simeon Woods Richardson, right? Okay. Did you have anything else to touch on Blue Jays wise?
No, that's pretty well it.
Okay, so a few things I did wish to touch on here in Major League Baseball. Chris Bassitt with the A's, what a scary situation. I don't know, did you see the
line drive comebacker off the head?
Oh my goodness. Just the most, it's literally the play in baseball that people worry about the most, is that line drive right back up the middle towards the pitcher when he is in a very vulnerable spot. And just in the worst case scenario, line drive right up the middle, bounces off his head, 100 miles an hour exit velo on this ball, out cold. And I mean, everyone's heart just sunk for a second, because I mean he was carted off the field unconscious, in and out of consciousness. Like, it was very, very scary. Went to the hospital. Everything looks like he's going to be okay. I'm sure he's dealing with a headache and a concussion currently, but all the best to Chris Bassitt with the A's. Baseball kind of went to the wayside that game. Both the White Sox and the A's. I mean, everyone was just worried about this guy. Really, really happy to hear that he seems like he's going to be all right and make a full recovery. Another thing I wish to touch on here. Oh,
sorry,
go ahead. Sorry, man.
Just on that. This doesn't get talked about too often, but it does from time to time. Do you think helmets are coming for pitchers?
That's a good question.
The reason I say this is, years ago, helmets weren't mandatory in hockey. Mm-hmm. Then they were. Visors weren't mandatory in hockey. Then they were. Mm-hmm. Right? You play in some softball leagues, pitcher has to wear a helmet.
Batting helmets weren't enforced for years as well. Right, like
first base coaches have to wear helmets now. Mm-hmm. Right, like how much longer are we going to see pitchers not wear helmets? I don't know. The thing with pitchers is wearing a helmet might be so noticeable in a delivery, but
you'd need, or maybe they need to figure some sort of padding in the hat out. I don't know. Like, listen. The truth is, man, maybe you're right. Maybe something has to be done, because, I mean, I watched that replay a few times. It just turns the stomach. The guy could have died, right? Like, 100-mile-an-hour ball to the head. Like, let's be serious. He is so lucky that he is going to recover, and he looks like everything's going to be all right. Like, it was a very scary play, man. 100 miles an hour. Like, again, maybe helmets are coming. That is something that I'm sure Major League Baseball is talking about and looking into.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're speaking of the MLB, viewership amongst young viewers, 15 to 30, is the highest it has been since before 2009.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, man. Major League Baseball making some progress, getting some young fans back. And it's because how exciting their players have been. They're young. They are
having fun.
Having fun. Showing some emotion. Being a little bit more outspoken. All the things that the youth love about basketball, all of a sudden we're starting to see in baseball. And of course it translates into more viewers. Of course it does. And With this step forward, it becomes even more imperative for the MLB and the MLBPA to not screw up this CBA that's coming up.
What's your gut instinct feeling on that? You think we're going to have a stoppage at all? I'm not saying are we going to miss a full season. I don't think we will. But do you think we miss a game?
I sure hope not, man.
I hope not, too. I'm trying to hold your feet to the fire and get an answer out of you, Scott.
Okay, well,
do you think we will or not?
I have no faith in the MLB doing the right thing. I have no faith in them. Do I think there's going to be a stoppage? I'm on the fence. I look at where they're at right now, and I don't know if baseball can recover from a strike right now. And there's no way that they can look at this and feel that they can. I think both sides understand how dire it is for them to come up with a new CBA that works and not have a stoppage. But, I mean, the truth is, man, Rob Manfred and MLB has at every turn made the wrong decision. So do I think there's going to be a stoppage? Yeah, probably, because they always do the wrong thing. And there are some big issues with this CBA that need to be handled, and there are some obstacles that are going to be very difficult for both sides to come to an agreement on. One of those, and the last thing we're talking about before we wrap this up, is the fact that minor league baseball is underpaying their minor league system something terrible. And you know what, man? There was a stat that just or a report that came out about the Toronto Blue Jays, and there were a couple players in their low A system, and this stayed anonymous. However, they did come out and say that they're actually, after being paid, losing money month to month. They're paying to play professional baseball. This isn't semi-pro baseball. You know, this isn't this isn't amateur baseball. These guys are professional ball players that have been put in a situation by major league clubs that are just, it's basically a ball player factory.
Yep.
Right? And these guys are being charged rent. Think about that. The Toronto Blue Jays are taking rent out of these guys' pay for the lodgings that they're providing for them. It's insanity. Rogers, Toronto Blue Jays are valued at $1.6 billion. When Rogers bought the Blue Jays, they bought them for $165 million in 2000. So in 21 years, look at how much the Blue Jays have increased in value. So you've got an organization that is worth $1.6 billion, and you're charging your players in your system, $500 a month for rent in buildings that you own? Are you, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a huge step forward to watch what the Houston Astros did, which was to provide all of their system, low A through triple A, with lodgings fully furnished. So these guys aren't, like, that's the thing. And I know that they're, and maybe because I'm a comedian, I relate so much to these minor league ball players.
Right.
Because we are doing things that sometimes people view and they're like, well, if you can't make enough money, quit then. Go get a real job. But the truth is, man, they're in a baseball player factory that only benefits Major League Baseball. So give back to these kids a little bit. Like, these guys aren't asking for millions of dollars. They're asking for enough money to not need to pool their money together at the end of the month to buy wings all together so that they can all eat wings together. You know, like, let's... I don't know. This is another CBA situation, you know, sticking point that's going to be a big one, I think. Anything to add on that?
No, it just with the lodging thing, it's with any corporation, any business, it's frustrating to see when it's run in a way where people like count the nickels instead of the dollars.
Yeah.
You know, and just lodging, it seems like a no-brainer, right? You just, yeah. It's an investment. It's real estate.
Yeah.
Which is just the safest investment you could make, like, generally speaking, right?
And maybe we're on the player side a little bit because we have talked to over 25 prospects within this Blue Jays system over the last year. You know, like, to the point where, like I said, I ran into Kirby Snead and he stopped me on the street, right? Like, we're not best buds with these guys, but we sit down and talk to them for an hour. You kind of hear about their life, their struggle, how much passion they have for the game, and then to hear that they're being nickel and dimed by a corporation that is making millions and millions and millions of dollars off the back of their hard work. It's just, it's really disheartening. And this isn't a Blue Jays specific problem, by the way. This is across the league.
This isn't even a baseball specific problem. I mean, look at Disney with that Scarlett Johansson thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. I know it's like millionaires arguing with billionaires and like the common folk. We're supposed to care about that, but like, if I have to pick whether I side with the millionaires or the billionaires, like, are we even having this conversation, right? And then the thing with the minor leaguers is they're not millionaires.
No, they're not.
Right?
They're so, barely thousandaires.
Yeah. Make more money on CERB.
Like, the truth is, look at a guy like Kirby Snead, who is going to... So the way a guy like Snead or Taylor Cicedo's pay works is that they get called up, and now for every game that they play in the majors, they're making the league minimum for those games. So huge increase in pay from what they were making in the minor leagues. Yeah. However, they're not rich by any means.
No.
I mean, most Canadians still probably over the last, in a year, have made more than Kirby Snead does playing 20 Major League Baseball games and then minor league ball. You know, like,
yeah,
maybe not quite, but you know what I mean, right? Like, they're not getting rich off this.
it's like when you're a poor college student and then you get your tax return. And yes. You're like, oh, sweet, I can buy some essentials that I've been putting off for a while. You're not just like all of a sudden set now though. Yeah. Right?
No, of course not.
Man. All right. Well, I'm bummed out. That was a fun way to end the episode. Anything else? Do you have like bad news about your dog dying or anything else?
All right. Well, we'll leave it on that downer note here, I guess, but go Blue Jays. Hopefully when we talk on Friday next week, we are
7-0, and we're 7-0,
a successful week. Absolutely. And again, just a reminder, everybody, no guest on this episode. However, Dara Harris of the high performance team with the Blue Jays does join us next week. You can catch that next Friday. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to get to the mailbag this Tuesday, and we're going to do two live streams because we didn't do one this week. So we'll make up for that, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks so much. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.